what we see that there is an increase in buying drugs on the dark web. And what we see also is that it's not all the drugs that are bought there on these platforms, these online platforms. It's mostly new psychoactive drugs, but also ecstasy, also cocaine. But for example, heroin is seldomly bought in this type of platform. So we are talking about a certain type of user. It's not perhaps the marginalized user who is living in the street and who doesn't have access to the web, basically. What we see also is that these users, these consumers, are really ready to pay a premium price for buying the drug there, because they say that the drug is of better quality. It's a bit more expensive, but it's better quality. And also, they avoid all the hassle of the interactions with the traffickers. So they avoid perhaps situations that are unpleasant, like violence or things like that. And they also avoid exposition or, likeliness of being apprehended by law enforcement. But what is, I think, is worrying is that the studies show that 4% of these respondents bought their drug for the first time on the dark web. That means the first buy of drug was on the dark web. So that means there is also a potential for reaching out to new categories of users we were not users before.
So that is one niche sector that you're concerned about. Can we maybe talk more globally? And the report has highlighted increased heroin use, particularly in Western Europe, some countries in North America, and also Central Europe. You've found heroin use, for example, in Italian teenagers, 15 to 17-year-olds, has doubled. Why is it happening?
It's difficult to answer this, but what I can say is that it's worrying. In Italy, it's among the 15-year-olds that there is a doubling of the rate from 1 to 2% of use of heroin in the last year. But in Italy, older people, not very old, but I think they're youth, 18 to 24, there is no increase. It's rather stable, slightly decreasing. But why is worrying? Because an increase at this age of 15, this is very worrying, because this is a new generation. And the earlier you start this type of use, and the more, the higher the risk of then becoming dependent later on.
And you point to the use of drugs being particularly prevalent among those who are excluded or at a distance from society and disaffected. And so, with a view to the Sustainable Development Goals, how are these Sustainable Development Goals useful in this context?
I think what we did in the report in Chapter 2 is that we looked at drugs and also drug responses through the lens of the SDG. So we look at the 17 SDGs and look in each of the area how they interconnect or interlink with the drug issue and also the responses to the drug issues, because this is also very important. And for each of them, there is, of course, a connection. What we show is that development policies and drug policies need really to work in symbiosis, because otherwise they can be very counterproductive. And I give an example. In the 60s and the 70s, there was a lot of development effort, initiatives in the Andean countries, and this led to an increasing cultivation of coca there. So this is where you need absolutely to that they work in symbiosis, and they are, each of them are aware of the objective of the other. They need to be environmentally friendly. They need to be based on scientific evidence. They need to overcome the stigmatization of drug users. And they need also to ensure that no one is left behind. And this is really the SDG. So they need also to cater for the needs of specific groups, specific populations that are not part of the general population.